Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of On The Cast. I am one of your hosts, Dylan, and we also have...
We have me!
You!
Yeah, so Mitch McMaster.
Mitch McMenstrual.
Minge McMenstrual is actually what I got called when I was... that's what I got called in 2012 at schoolies, so that was great, wasn't it? Fantastic.
Bet you got all the girls with that. Well...
Not at all.
3 seconds and we're already shit talking. But for those of you who haven't listened to On The Cast, we are strictly a lure fishing podcast. We like casting, jigging, anything that involves using lures, artificials, flies, whatever you want.
There we go. I was going to correct you then.
Don't worry. I slipped in flies for you.
Thank you,
you purist.
I'm not a purist at all.
You probably make purists puke, to be honest, but that's all right.
I'd probably just make a lot of people puke if I'm blatantly honest there as well. So not just purists.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Today we have, before I even start on that, let's be honest, we have not done a podcast in quite a while now. So the last time we were over in Oman, not us, I wish, but obviously due to the current situations in the world and our financial stability, we were not in Oman.
No.
But, yes, go Mitch.
No, we weren't in Oman. But, Dylan. We were talking about it. We were talking about Oman with some incredible people. Who were they?
We had John and Andre, and my God, did they give us a good episode. Got me pretty keen for some psychotic overseas adventures once we can finally travel. And with any luck, I'd like to think it's going to be this year, but time will tell. Just if everyone's optimistic and smart and not silly, there could be every chance.
Fingers and toes crossed, that's for sure. But today, Dylan, what are we talking about? Firstly, welcome everybody to 2021.
That happened.
Fingers and toes crossed, it's a better year than last.
But it can't get much worse, but we'll see. I'm not going to be too optimistic.
No, neither am I.
Contradict what I said a few seconds ago. You asked, what are we talking about today? To be honest, I don't really know. Mitch doesn't really know. But hey, we're just going to recap sort of last year and sort of what happened in the Aussie lure fishing scene for both Mitch and myself and everyone else and a few people we know and follow. We're going to touch on this year, our hopes, dreams, expectations, everything else. This episode could turn into something totally different. It might just turn into us dreaming about tackle and fishing trips and whatever, but hey, you'll just have to listen and find out.
That's it. I'm actually pretty keen for this episode. To be fair, I've been pretty keen to get a podcast up for this year already. But hey, we've been living life, Dil. How have you been? It was Christmas. How's New Year's? What have you been up to?
Can't really remember, but I've actually been fishing for a bit. Christmas and New Year's was hectic. Just worked between the shop and the zoo a ton. Sometimes it's done like 7 days a week, but I don't know. As of January, I finally managed to get out and do a lot of fishing. Haven't done any estuary or freshwater, just all offshore at the minute. And may I say, it has been, I've never seen so many tuna and kings in my life in Australia anyway, but it's been fishing tough. You work for your fish, but you might land like half a dozen good fish in a session. So you earn your bites. And in a way, it's almost better than going out and just smashing them. Like, it's rewarding for the effort you put in. It's been good.
As opposed to it being absolutely silly and Fisher Carr style and getting bored of it within a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
which, to be fair, is good and bad all the same. But, yeah, like you said, if you're working for your fish, you're always enjoying that a bit more than if you're just smashing fish left, right and centre.
Yeah, and if you can go out and whack a 25-kilo bluefin, if that's your only fish for the day, you're going home with a smile on your face, or if you can get a couple of good kings, happy days. But... like locally here, we're all just sort of waiting for a bit of bait to show up or those fish to click, because once they do, it's going to be silly. Like the other day, we were out there and everywhere you looked for kilometres upon kilometres, it was just school after school of good fish, big bluefin. Like, I've been diving with them a bit too, and there's been some massive fish in there, like done a bit of spearing and seen some fish much bigger than myself in those schools of fish. So there's... when it turns on, or if it turns on, it's going to be something pretty special.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope I have my shot to catch one, a tuna and a king on the cast. That would be fantastic. So fingers and toes crossed that I have the opportunity. And for those who've listened to the last podcast, and I'm going to be talking to John and Andre about me going out and actually chasing some tuna and some kings. For those who listened, I didn't catch any.
Saw a lot.
Saw a lot.
Dill, you lost fish for me, getting tangled around me with kings.
Yep. I lost Dill's fish. I lost my own fish. Admittedly, yep. And it pains me to say it, the fish that I lost weren't trolling. Like, they were trolling. So would it have counted anyway? Not really. So no real loss.
Learn to feed a kingfish a live bait a bit better next time, Mitch, and you'll land them. But yeah. Hey, maybe your first will be on the cast. Keep us purists happy.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yes.
Anyway, let's get into it. 2020, Dylan, what were your expectations for 2020?
I was expecting a fucking lot more than what it offered. A lot more.
Oh, 20.
A hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I expected to be spending a lot more time not at home, for one, and I spent a lot of time at home. So
I reckon I had 20 hours of casting a bait caster in the backyard, and that would have been much more efficient if it was on a river. But
yeah, if you had to put 20 hours of casting on a river, you probably would have caught a fish.
No, oh, you'd hope.
Especially at the time of the year that you would have been casting a bait cast in the backyard. Like, yes. It would have been prime cod season.
20 hours on the ovens or the Murray, that would have been quite good.
You would have seen a fish,
yeah.
I'm sure.
But, well, we spent a lot of time at home. Netflix got to work out. YouTube got to work out.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, then that's about it.
Yep. Did your bank balance get to work out?
Yeah. Online shopping became like, you didn't shop because you needed stuff. It was just like the excitement, as everyone probably knows it'd be, the excitement of having stuff rock up in the mail. So, ebb tide, you're welcome.
John and Andy, you can thank Dylan. Yes. You can thank Dylan for being able to get through COVID.
Oh, got some nice gear out of it, though, we'll say.
I have been looking at their store actually recently for some more stuff, and I think I will be funding them this year at some point too, so I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. I actually didn't do that much. Oh, no, I spent a heap of money on fly fishing shit, actually. God.
No, just a bit.
Far out. I actually don't want to know. My 2020, I can't wait to calculate like my 2021 spending on fishing stuff. It's going to be abhorrent.
Don't go there, sweetie pie.
No. But yeah, our 2020 expectations, I expected a hell of a lot more than I got out of it. But there are some good times in there as well.
We won't bore you with our personal lives, but fishing-wise, like, it wasn't too bad. Like, we both got away for some good sessions. I don't think we hardly fished with each other. I think we literally did one big trip with each other at the end of the year on the cod, and that was all right. But, oh, personally, each, we got some pretty good fish in there, and it wasn't too bad at all, really. Like Mitch's bass, that was a fucking big fish. 57?
57 bass. I admittedly got smoked a hell of a lot of times before that point. So there could have been a bigger one in there, but 57, I'm stoked with that. I think it was my fourth bass ever. So I can't really complain too much.
No, not at all. So that's been good. You got a new kayak, a new car. It's sort of been allowing you to do some trips. So you've managed to get down to Gippsland and enjoy the cod a bit more, because the old living out of a Honda CRV wasn't the best thing in the world for you.
I think it was a weapon, but yeah, it was probably a death trap waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, quit a couple of my shit jobs. That sucked. But it was also like good money, but there's only so much time you can work and justify like working because of COVID, which, like, admittedly, like, to those people who might have lost their job and stuff, I'm sorry about that. But like, I had some shit jobs, but I replaced it with a good one. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And I also get to spend 4 months with my girlfriend. But like Jill said, don't bore you with that shit.
Yeah.
Dill, though, you achieved some pretty cool things as well. Like, I know you probably achieved one of the worst records that you could ever be going for.
Mm.
The most of days without fishing that Dylan probably and hopefully will never break. How many days did you go on a row without catching?
It was nearly 100. I reckon it was, I think it got to 97 days.
Ugh.
No, there might have been a sneaky trip in there to make sure it wasn't 100. But yeah, that was pretty painful. Like, you think, it makes you think, just in, for someone who's as dedicated as either of us, or even more so, 100 days, the amount of fishing and exploring you do in that is pretty incredible in a normal year.
Like, and you miss some phenomenal times of the year.
Oh, like I was shattered. Missed out entirely on southwest runoff trout. Missed some very good bluefin bites, but it'd be this year. And it was cool to see sort of how the fishery responded without, like, local fisheries to me especially, how they responded without constant pressure or minimal pressure. So it was funny. Like, some of the local ones, like a lot of the little urban lakes I love to fish, like, they've just been a write-off because they got smashed so hard that the fish had just become educated. But then a lot of fish, like, say, mulloway and a few other species that I love to target, without pressure, those things really shun through, and there was some pretty good fishing to be had.
Yeah, it was a weird year. Not to mention, I think because of the pressure that some areas got post-lockdown, so especially around Melbourne with the 25-kilometre radius, the 5-kilometre radius and then the 25-kilometre radius for that short amount of time, there was some really phenomenal snapper catches coming out of there as well, purely based out of people wanting to get out, like, just get out on the water regardless of what they were trying to catch. So there was some good moments in there. And at the end of the year, yeah, I guess we had our cod session, to which, in all honesty, was our first fishing trip in a year. Like, we
not our fault though.
we have a podcast. We've been fishing, and we've seen each other. But we haven't done a lot of big trip. We haven't done a big trip in over a year. But we're fingers and toes crossed. 2021 looks a stack different to what it looks like now.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
What else did you get, Dill? So 2020, 35 kilo bluefin on PE2?
Yeah, we had one very memorable set, like one of my memorable sessions. I'll touch on it in a minute, but fish of that trip would have been probably a 30. I don't know. So around that 35 kilo mark, might have been a bit less, might have been a bit more. Don't really care. Didn't weigh it. Don't really give a shit about the numbers, but that was a very good fish on PE2. Like, first fish I hooked that day, just unexpectedly smoked, just like literally blew up a reel on it, and I was just there laughing my ass off. The next cast got a good one that had nothing on the first one, but just on that light PE2 gear, probably took me about half an hour to land that fish, and had to chase it around a bit. And it was very, like, not a monster bluefin by any means, but on getting that on stick bait and seeing the eat and everything, and going gun ho on it for that long, half an hour fight on a fish like that on such light gear, it was good fun.
What stick bait did it eat?
It was either a Siren Deep Seductress, or it was a, could have even been, it was either that or like a Bastet Bungee Cast or a Jewel Adagio. So that day they were just going bonkers for any sort of smaller sinking stick bait, really.
Yeah, sick.
It just ate it.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I remember seeing, I think, was it the same session that Ebb Tide Luck was out as well?
JC and Lids were out that day.
Yeah, I remember. I actually watched the video on YouTube. They posted where you guys pop up.
Yeah, there was not another boat out that day. It was amazing because everyone was fishing. It was funny. Everyone was fishing locally because there was a lot of bluefin locally. Mind you, a lot of gig and caught too. But we were like, hey, let's run to Portland because we bet no one's going to be fishing down there. And sure enough, it was just a desert, but a desert filled with fish.
Yeah,
got some kings, got some tuna. Great day on the water, that.
I wonder if other people are starting to think that sort of thing now with how the bluefin fishery is, like, copping it this year so far.
Yeah, it's like you and I. We've had friends get them as far east as Cape Liptrap at the minute. Like, we've had customers in the shop consistently catching them even further out towards past Marlow, around Mallacoota even now, inshore, like, not far out. And I think you can go out of any port in Victoria now, and depending where you are at what time of year, somewhere you're going to find some tuna. And summer seems to be one of the best months for it, one of the best seasons, should I say, for it.
Yeah, maybe not the best season for them to be, like, chomping their heads off, like winter, I guess, but one of the best seasons to find them inshore and, like, in close proximity.
And for whatever reason, slightly better fish. Like, a 30-kilo fish is by no means uncommon. Like, if you have a day where you get, a dozen decent tuna, like, a couple of those are always going to be that 30-kilo sort of size class, and it's been funny at the minute. Like, we were out the other day. We saw fish that would have been 2 to 3 kilos. We saw fish that would have been 60. So the size range at the minute is fantastic to see. And we're catching them at the minute anywhere from probably about as small as 15 to 18, but commonly up to about 25. So that's it's been a really nice size range of fish.
Yeah, I remember, like, not obviously it wasn't very long ago, but our trip with, like, you, me and Perry out of Bowen Heads, like, there were some solid fish pushing through then.
Like there were schools of fish that every fish in the school would have been 50 to 60 plus. Like, it's just funny to see that size of fish in the middle of summer now, but it's no longer uncommon.
It's awesome. Like, and if people keep taking care of the fishery, like I have been over the last couple of seasons, then it's going to be a phenomenally good fishery in the next few years.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed for good recruitment, good management worldwide, and we're going to see fish for a long time.
More barrels.
More barrels, please.
Mm. I guess, and anyway, we'll get back onto it, back on track. We've already strayed off track. Here we go. It'll be good. But most memorable session for me, and I guess most memorable session will be divided into most memorable trip. For me, for 2020, mainly because there was stuff or trips in there for me. But my trip to East Gippsland with Tom Clayson. So, an incredible trip. First time ever really seriously fishing East Gippsland. And I think I spent 3 nights there. That was awesome fun down there. And we just got it on the end, just before Melbourne was released to freedom to go to wherever they want. Tom and I thought we'd make the dash over. Seeing as we were in the regional areas, and it was phenomenally good fishing. Like, the water everywhere was dirty, but the system that we fished was clearing up. So it cleared up significantly over the days that we were there, but it was awesome fishing. Stacks of perch, stacks of brim. And yeah, I got my 57 centimeter bass. We got smoked by so many fish over there as well, but that was just awesome. All on conventional gear. And that sort of has been my downfall into purchasing a stack more conventional gear. But I haven't given up on fly stuff for everyone. So there's, like, hold on, hold your horses. It's been good.
Don't go back to the dark side. That's good. You know, that session you had was so good to go the next weekend.
Yeah, and it was funny because after a week, it was quite a different fishery over that week break. Like, the water seemed to have cleared up and there seemed to be brim absolutely moving all over the place. Like, for you, wasn't there?
Like, top of the system as far as we could possibly get, right down to the bottom of that system into the salt water. It was brim everywhere. We got flattered as far as we went, like, pretty much catching duskies in full fresh, few bass. Perch was slow compared to you, but no, man, we got some. But then, like, highlight of my trip that time was catching a flatty over 80 on 3-pound leader, which I have a terrible track record of just getting smashed up by those things, and they always rasp me off and stuff. So to finally stick one and on the lightest leader I fish, that was a good laugh. A very, very tense 13-minute fight, but I got it.
13-minute fight. How do you know that?
GoPro.
Where's the footage, Dill? Where are the photos, Dill?
Oh, where are the photos, Mitch? I'll surface one day.
Where's the evidence? Did it happen?
No, it didn't happen.
Didn't think so.
I'll get some footage up. I've got some cool footage of me netting it and probably losing my mind, so we'll stick that on the page soon enough when I can be stuff going through all the footage.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, yeah, sorry to everyone for not posting any photos on Instagram over the last 3 weeks. We just have been relaxing and enjoying our time.
Yeah.
We'll get back.
Right. We've actually been out fishing and not dying on the couch anymore, so happy days.
There was one other fish that you achieved, and it's by no means a monumental fish, but for like the areas you've been fishing, what did you get? Metro brim 45 centimeters.
Finally got a metro brim over 45. So, like 45 plus. Like, wasn't the behemoth supreme overlord of brim, but it was, I don't know, probably like a 1.6 kilo metro fish. Any fish like that, happy days. That came from the Maribyrnong up higher, and it was a funny session because I was like, just wanted to go close to home, and I bought a live well that day, and I was going to Bem River the next morning for the comp, and I was like, oh, better just make sure the live well works, just give it a bit of a run in. And I was like, I'll just take two lures and run rods. So I just grabbed a Twitch Freak, tied some 4-pound leader on, grabbed two SX40s, didn't even bring scissors or a forceps or anything like that. And I was like, I'll just put a fish in it and see how I go. And it was like, first cast, get like a smaller fish, about that 35 mark, put that in there. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. Second cast got busted off down to one SX40. I'm like, oh, spear and oh well. I won't be out here for too long anyway. Next cast, clunk one that was just like, I think it was 45 and a half, 46 centimeters fish, like a really, like, and I was over the moon for like a metro fish. That's a cracker. Had a good tussle of it off a rock wall. Somehow didn't get smoked and happy days. And the live well worked. I got a few more fish, but then it ended up being all the trebles on the SX40s were just smashed off by that big fish. And I just had one bent out on a 45 degree angle and dropped probably 10 more fish. And I was like, well, good session, head home. Went against everything I ever say about terminal gear, but good fun nonetheless. And I got the fish that counted.
But like, but I guess to be fair though, you were just going out to test. You were going out just to test your live well, so don't get too stressed about it. All right, so capping off 2020, really, Dill, it was a shit year.
Fucking crap, man. But you make the most of it. Like, I look back on it and, yeah, like, there was a lot of negative shit about it at times, but it's not the shit you focus on at the end of the day. Like, I was chatting to someone the other day and I was almost saying, like, when everything went down in March, like, I remember I was at Bem River when I first heard that Corona was in Australia and it was getting a bit bad. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And you come home and then we fished sort of like South Dippy on the way back. And I was kind of like, little did I know that'd be the last time I'd sort of get out for a proper fish for a very long time. And well, here we are nearly 11 months later or something like that, 10 months later. And that's almost my last memory of last year and amongst all the shit. So I don't know. You just block out the negative stuff, move on in life, and it's not that bad anymore, really. Like, no. Crap, learn from it and keep going.
No, and there were some good moments in there as well. Like, it was shit, but there were some good moments in there as well. Like I said, I got to spend 4 months, like 4 months with a girlfriend. That was wicked. I worked my ass off. That sucked, but I also solved some other shit in my life, which was good. But yeah, I also caught some cool fish and got to see some new places, and it just gave me that sense of adventure. Like, oh, I miss that sense of adventure, really, that I'd normally have.
Makes you appreciate it.
Oh, I certainly appreciate getting out a bit more, and I put a lot more effort into it. Like, I'm more than happy now to do that day trip or that overnight trip to go chase fish. That normally I'd be like, oh, I'll just wait for it till I got 2 or 3 days spare.
Well, yeah, I think it's both of us now. It's been like, if we have a whole day off, we'll be like stuffed at a 4-hour day trip. It's like, well, if I have to drive for 8 hours, at least I get to fish for 4 or 5. Who cares? Just do it. Make the most of it.
Yeah, like, we weren't fishing for 4 or 5 hours. We weren't fishing at one point in 2020. So it's certainly put things into more perspective. And I think it's given me a shot load more drive to go out there and actually chase fish in different places, explore new waters. And, like, obviously the metro stuff got smashed and heaps of other people are doing the same thing, traveling around. So it's given me, yeah, a lot of determination to go find uncharted waters or less pressured systems and find that really good fishing in amongst everything else. So I'm keen as heck for 2021.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll move on from that, guys. And we're getting towards the pointy end of this podcast already. I'm going to say that we're probably like a quarter of the way through it. God, I hope not, but we'll see. But we thought we should give a bit of an honorable mention to some really cool captures that have happened in the last year. Like, obviously there was for us Victorians anyway, especially, there was a big lull in fishing done, but that's not to say there weren't some once in a lifetime or some very, very cool fish caught. So I don't know. My biggest mention I think I could give would be to Kobe Rothel. He got a barrel just under 100 kilo fish on top on an ASWB SS120, if my memory serves me correct, from Port Macdonald. He caught that fish on PE6 gear. It was an 8,000 Stella. Can't remember what rod, but a fish that size and light gear on one of his first shots targeting a top water barrel, hat off. Awesome fish. So jealous, and I hope I get my turn to it soon, but absolutely, that takes fish of the year for me.
Yeah, like, it's a shame. Like, and like, that was a South Australian fish, and no, not it's not a shame. Awesome fish. But it's going to be real cool when someone does it in Victoria as well. But yeah, Kobe, yeah. That fish was wicked. He actually just posted a photo about it today on his Instagram. So today being the 15th of the 1st, 2021. So yeah, he just posted a photo. And it's, yeah, such a cool achievement. Like, I know people dream of that stuff, and it's going to happen again and again and again, I think. Like, it's not, like, it's obviously there's been a few other like 100 kilo fish on stick baits and stuff, or close to like big barrels and stuff. But like, those big barrels are going to, like, this is going to happen more and more.
Yeah, like we've had our chances at fish up to that 120 plus mark on top now, and seen hooks pull, fish miss lures, learned a few little errors along the way, and I don't know. We've learned from a few mistakes, and we're only getting closer now. So hopefully this season it happens, but then. Like Aaron Dillon, who I fish with a bit, he got a good fish about a bit over that 70 kilo mark of Warrnambool on top. That fish ate, I think it was a Gamma 120 or a Gamma 160, and that was he went full beast mode, landed that fish. I think it was on PE10 in 11 minutes. So goes to show, don't run sissy drag and knock them over. Have some fun.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good time for fish like that. Even if you're using overhead stuff, that's a wicked time to knock that fish over. So. How was his back afterwards?
I think you could imagine. You have to ask him. But, ouch. I could only, it would hurt, but it would be better than fighting it for half an hour. You're going to hurt a lot more.
Yeah, I wonder how long Kobe fought his barrel for.
Ooh.
A while.
We'll find out next time. We'll have him on soon enough again, but that's got to hurt. Now, next fish, I'll give it to one of us. I didn't have anything too mentionable, but Mitch, 57 centimeter bass. That's a big bass. That is a really big bass.
Yeah, and like I don't know if it's the worst thing or the best thing, but fourth bass I've ever caught. So, hey, sometimes beginner's luck, I guess. So, having said that, it makes me super excited to go chase more bass. Such a cool fish. And I've been getting busted off by so many fish on this trip. It was just nice to get one. And 57 centimeters, I could not be happy. It was the fattest thing I've seen in a long time. Hats off to me. Woo.
Next, we'll jump back over to South Australia. So I think this one was a pretty obvious fish for both of us. Like for me personally, this is probably a fish that is on it has the number one spot on my personal bucket list of fish I must catch before I die. And that is a brim over 50. Ben Gibbs, he got probably one of the only fish I saw over that 50 mark caught last year. Or at least the proper one I saw out of the Coorong. Awesome fish. I think it was taken on a pro lure grub in motor oil, if my memory serves me correct on that one. And hat off, man. That was a cracking fish.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Good luck beating that PB, but give it all you can.
Yeah, well, that's right. You can sit back now, tick brim off the list, go do chase and other things. Like, you can't really beat that. So. Yeah. You might, and it'd be awesome too. And fingers crossed, Dylan and I have some opportunities for that this year. That'd be awesome. But Colby Lesko got a sweet fish, 130-centimeter cod off the surface in the Murray, wasn't it, Dill?
In the Murray, a true 100-pounder.
That thing was massive. Like, massive hats off, a huge honourable mention to that fish, and Colby for putting in the effort. Like from all reports, I think he didn't have that many bites on that trip, but that's like it just shows you put the effort in, you're coming out with rewards, big rewards too.
Oh yeah, and it's just you keep at it, keep casting. Like I know he had one trip where he didn't get a bite for nearly 7 days, but then if you stick a fish like that, you're going to forget about 7 days of casting.
100%. Like 7 days, that's just gone on the wind as soon as you hook a fish like that. It'd be worse if you had hooked it and lost it. That would be, I don't know if that'd be worth it. That'd be tough.
Oh, wouldn't it ever?
That'd break me, that's for sure.
I will say, sorry if I've been a bit quiet for the last few seconds. We have put it out to our audience over on Insta today just to send through some questions, and we're getting bombarded, particularly by one group chat, with some quality questions. But there is some good ones filtering through, so we'll get through those. We may throw a random one in here or there. We might leave them to the end. If any of you want to travel back in time and send some more through, feel free. There'll be some funny ones. Like we've had some Cooksness and stuff. We've dealt with that. So
I actually can't wait to go back through and read the comments, but it's going to be good.
We got two more memorable fish. Next one, if Mitch can kick off, I'm going to keep filtering through these and see. I'm going to sort them into the appropriate and inappropriate pile, figure out what we've got.
Yeah, so continuing on past guests that we've had on, John Carhill's 95-centimeter croc on the jointed claw 70. It's a solid fish. Like, Dylan, I one of Dylan I's big goals as well for the future as well, to get a big croc. So, by the way, if you're listening to this and you don't know that a croc is a flathead, then, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Croc's a flathead.
May I interrupt?
No.
Here's a question I'll throw to you, Mitch.
All right.
So this one comes from a man called Adam.
Oh, no.
Discuss the pros and cons of single rod bells and double rod bells.
Oh, well, we should keep cracking on with this honorable mentions, but the pros and cons of single bells versus double bells is one has one bell and one is a lonely number and two is a less lonely number. So two bells is better than one bell.
What's your preference?
Two bells.
All right, moving on. So where were we?
So John Carhill's 95-centimeter croc, unreal fish.
And he's got it on video. Anyone who wants to see it, check it out. Really cool.
Did that fish make the cover of the Hooked Up mag too?
One of his fish did. He got a couple of good ones, actually.
I don't remember if it was specifically the 95 one or if it was just a cool photo taken by someone that can actually take photos. So unlike your fish. Anyway, moving on. And the last but not least, honorable mention has to go to the one and only, again, former guest. Don't know why he was a guest. Perry Stavropoulos. And he finally got a bluefin tuna on the cast. He has, by the way, this is the guy that now has two boats, one like sweet side console, I think, like sort of estuary boat, and a really nice offshore boat now, like a really nice offshore boat. And then he's also got a kayak and he has finally just got his first bluefin. So congratulate. So congratulations, Perry, on being the slowest man to own all that stuff and getting a tuna. Anyway, that wraps up for honorable mentions. If you have your own honorable mention or you think you should be honorably mentioned, contact someone to get us to get them to tell us, because you can't really say, hey, I think we should be honorably mentioned. Just saying.
And if you do that, we'll screenshot you and leave you up to the world.
Yeah, we'll see if you deserve an honorable mention at that point. Feel free, actually. Please come in and tell us that you deserve to be honorably mentioned.
Scroll down, Mitch. I can't see our script.
Nah, that's all right.
There we go. We're not doing any cuts, by the way. So we stuff up or fully glitch. You get to hear it today.
Yeah, we're starting 2021 on the worst way possible. So it's just fingers and toes. Everything's up from here.
Yeah. Can't get much worse.
Nah. So 2021, thank God, we are here is all I can say. 15 days in and my life has already been better than 2020. So, oh, God, it's good to be here, Dil.
It is. Well, let's just cut the shit. 2021, fishing goals. Slap them out there, son.
Fishing goals? You've missed the first two questions, Dil.
Did I?
Yeah. What?
Well, I did too.
Yeah. What are our expectations for 2021, Dil?
Minimal. Yeah, yeah. keep them low and be surprised. That's my goal.
I couldn't have actually said that better myself. Yeah. Don't set any goals for 2021. Basically, stop setting goals, everybody. My goals for 2021.
Have all the Zinger boxes, everyone. Just roll with it.
How good are Zinger boxes, by the way?
I haven't had one since last year.
Have I had one? I have had one, actually. Yeah. No, I had an ultimate box. Sorry, I didn't get a Zinger box. Sorry.
Doesn't count.
What trips are we planning to do?
Well, between you and I, there's been, I'm hoping it happens. We're thinking March, Tasmania. So I think that's been on my bucket list for well and truly over 10 years, is to finally just do an East Coast brim session. And, well, we said we'd book it this week. We're saying we'll book it next week. Will we do that? I damn hope so. Let's hope we're a bit more reliable at booking a trip than we are at getting a podcast out, and we'll be in luck.
Well, we've been pretty unreliable at getting the podcast. So I think we are I hope we're not doomed, but I got a feeling of doom behind our trip for Tassie. It'd be such a good trip, though. And I can see what's going to happen, though, is we're going to have swags and we're going to be playing 9 days camping or whatever it's going to be. And we're going to go there and it will just be rain and wind and shit because it'll be March in Tasmania.
Yeah, well, got to do it.
Got to do it. We have to get there at some point. So
yeah,
that's one of the trips we're planning. And Dill, we're also with our fingers and toes at everything, if the stars fall line, we're planning a trip north.
Yeah, Barra.
Yep, post Colby Lesko podcast numero 10, I think.
Possibly.
Possibly, whatever it was. Go back, have a listen. It'd be great, trust me. Yeah, Barra. Trip north, chasing Barra, and I'd love to get a jack in there too. A jack would be wicked.
There's a lot of species up there we need to chase, but I think we're going to start with the icon.
It's going to be difficult to go through New South Wales, pending if we can actually get there. It's going to be difficult to go through New South Wales, and skip a whole bunch of stuff there. That's going to be one of the harder things to do for that trip, is to skip so much good water. Like, if we go there, what's roughly September, October, that's prime Windermere time too.
It is.
Very
difficult. I don't know. Between both of us, we've caught a metric shit ton of yellows, so
probably dropping
them on hold.
We'll drop them there for an afternoon. An afternoon
trip. Break the trip up.
An afternoon
trip. Quite partial to an old servo truck stop to load up on dim sims and... What are those chicken things that are like spicy and tasty?
Ooh, the spicy chicken wings.
Yeah, you know the ones.
Ooh, yeah, they're delicious in wraps, actually.
Ooh. They've got the chicken wingdings, I think they call them.
This podcast is their worst.
I know, but that's all right. Yes. Back to the point, we'll be catching Barra at some point this year, we hope.
And with any luck, I'm going to have at least, hopefully, a month to go visit my partner over in Finland, and I'm going to go do some pike fishing. I think, hopefully.
If you get overseas, good luck with that.
Yep, I'm shooting for the middle of the year, finish summer, but who knows?
All right.
Who knows?
Oh, sorry. Who knows, who knows, who knows? Who knows what Mitch's dream fish are for 2021? Well, realistic goals. What did you set yourself?
All right, so I have set myself pretty small amount of goals for this year. Some of them that I basically am pretty confident are going to tick over into the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. So basically what I've set myself up for is meet a cod. I really want to meet a cod. Don't care how I get it anymore. I used to want them to fly. Don't really give a shit anymore. I also want a meter mulloway. I know it's not that big, but I'd like to get a meter mulloway because that way it just takes a bit of a stress off and then I can enjoy my larger fish from that point. I also would really, really love to get a tuna and a kingfish on top water. Like, yeah, I had the opportunity to catch like a few trolling some live baits out for the kingfish and had a few opportunities to cast a tuna already, but I really want that tuna and kingfish on top water. I really want a 50 centimeter estuary perch because obviously I've already ticked my 57 centimeter bass off. So 50 centimeter estuary perch, I've come really close in the past, 48 centimeters, but I want one of those. I want a 50 centimeter brim. And I also want to enter a brim comp and win it with fly because stuff.
Actually, that's doable. I'll give it that to you.
Yeah, because stuff everyone and stuff the haters. So I just want to win a fly just to show that, like, and just a tiny piece of fur tied on a hook is how I win a brim comp. So any of those brim comp listeners, I'm going to do it, and you're going to be laughing.
That's if we get a brim comp.
Yeah. Well, we'll read yours, and there's another joke in there somewhere.
Oh, is this sweet? I can see it. Ooh,
Dill.
He's been a funny bastard. Wow.
Dill, what are your goals for 2021?
Feedy brim, as always.
Feedy.
That's been the goal for the last 15 years. Blown some chances, but hey, this year might blow some more chances. Might fluke it. Let's see. Barrel bluefin on the cast.
How big's a barrel?
I'd hope it'll be over 100, but that kind of scares me. Like anything over 80, I'd be stoked. But
could you imagine dragging you in?
Yeah.
Could you imagine just putting you in some water and then just like hooking up to you and dragging you across a pool just without you swimming? That's going to be a difficult task, and that's probably what will happen to your barrel.
Yep.
What else have you got?
You'll hear about that if that happens. I'll tell you what. 20 keg king in Victoria. Getting closer, sitting over, I'm over the 15 kilo mark now, but which I'm chuffed with, but I want a 20 kilo plus king in Vic.
Well, there's been some 20.
Been some this season. I know that.
What's the biggest so far that you reckon you've seen this season?
Rumored 30, but I haven't seen photos, but reliable source. Biggest I've seen photos of was 25, which compared to the last few seasons, that's massive for Victoria. Like any fish over 14, 15 in Victoria is serious business. So the 25, I kind of fainted. Like that was impressive.
Yeah, well, last
that day I got a couple of kings with you. What was it? 2 weekends ago. Oh man, I hooked a big one. It was on a live bait, but hey. I don't think it would have been 20, but it would have been one of those 15 pluses. And I've seen some good fish out there the last couple of trips too. So they're about.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that in my kayak.
Very
zing,
much.
Zing. What else are you planning on chasing?
Want to crack a 90 flathead now?
90.
Don't care how, preferably off the surface again.
That would be wicked.
Yeah. As long as it eats a lure. Happy days.
Or a fly.
Yeah. A big Dewey in Vic, like a proper one.
Like not a meter?
Bigger. I'm going to aim high on that because I know it's possible.
Yeah, especially where you are around Metro, like you Metro systems. Like I know it's possible. Can't wait to go have a party in the Yarra on Hobie's at 11 o'clock at night. Sick.
Yuck. But it's got to be done.
What's your last goal?
Last one. Well, I've had so many podium and top 10 finishes in a brim comp, but I've never actually won one, whether arrogant. A brim or a Hobie or anything else. So it'd be nice to finally get the number one spot. But yeah, that'll happen eventually, hopefully. This year's the year.
Placing first in the imaginary brim comps of 2020.
Yes, with me casting in my backyard.
Again, oh, my God, at least it's cats. Fuck cats.
Yeah, there's my goals. But hey, if I get the Fisher Brim comp, I'll be stoked. If I don't catch a fish and I get the Fisher Brim comp, I'll be stoked.
It's still going to be better than 2020.
Yes.
This podcast is absolutely spiraling out of control.
I know.
It's great, though. We'll anyway.
Three listens on this.
Oh, it's going to be a tough listen for people to get through, but tell you what, we're not doing an ounce of editing for this.
No.
Stuff, yes, you'll be better from here on out. Trust me.
But the best part's to come, the listener questions, and there's been some cooked ones. So
I know. And we're getting there pretty quickly. So what gear are we excited for, Dil?
Ooh, what are we excited for?
We'll start with you because we'll start from the bottom and work our way up.
I'm learning to love the Yamaga rods, and definitely want the Yamaga Blue Sniper, probably like the 82.6, just a nice PE6 one. It's got the PE4 model at the minute that I generously got given, and oh my God, they are a stunning rod. So monies will be donated to the Top Water Fund there. And also I just want some store, I don't care who, I just want Carpenter Bluefish 60s, Mitch.
Are they six,
so
are they
hard six? To find. I've been trying to find them for months and months and months. And yeah, there's 45s in stock. There's 100s in stock, which I got a lot of already. But I just want Bluefish 60s. I think they're just going to be a real big step in the right direction to getting some bigger Vic Kings. They're just that nice, perfect size. And for those who fish to them, they just catch kingfish. I can't tell you exactly why, but I've seen kings nose up a live bait to smash a carpenter bluefish before. And
Like, what are they? I don't know what they are.
Just an amazing stick bait.
An actual stick bait?
Yeah, proper one.
Made of, like, just a stick?
Feeder. Yeah.
Yeah, just a stick off the ground.
The best action on them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're good. And you can swim them in really rough water, and they still hold their ground. They're really good.
Carpenter 60. Let's see what they... There's probably kind of some trading company, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Anyway, we'll Google that later on. Yeah, anything else, Dill? Any other tackle that you're interested at for the coming season?
No, nothing out of the ordinary, to be honest.
Your gear's looking pretty tidy now.
Yeah, I've just picked up three more Sirtates this week. I just got finally invested in a proper slow pitch setup. So I got an Oshia Jigger 1500 HG on a Jigstar slow jerk, and that's been an absolute dream. I got a few Rat Kings and some good snapper on it recently. And if anyone's in the market for a combo like that, just do it. Like get in touch with either Mitch and myself, and we can point you in the right direction. But that is just a pleasure to fish with that outfit. Does the job and goes above and beyond.
I picked it up a couple of times on the boat, and it was awesome. I also made you lose kingfish on it by wrapping sabiki rigs around it. So
yes,
you get that.
Leb.
Absolutely get that in the big jobs.
Yeah, fuck you. But besides that, nothing out of the ordinary. I've sort of just been getting my finesse outfits back up to scratch, and that's almost done now. Like I've just been gone beyond silly on the millers at the minute, and probably spent enough money on them for now. I say that, but there's normally one or two that always find their way into the rod rack.
Yeah, if they make a light bait caster, like a real light one, like a bass one, I'm in the market to convert what I'm about to buy.
I would love them to do a bass. Like they do, I know Ian does it in a custom, but a bass freak. A UL bait caster version.
Yeah.
That you can match up to like a Steez CTS V70 and just love life with.
Jeez, like actually the dream combo for all light stuff.
Oh, you'd be the best big snag, brawl, and brim combo. Because you just put like 20 pound braid on it, run 20 pound leader, and just land everything.
Yeah, well, that's like I bought my, what I got, the Samurai Infinite.
You get the same as me, don't you?
Is it 8 to 16?
Yeah.
And then running a like Shimano style SS150. And that thing is like a lightweight weapon, but like a Steez on that. Or I still prefer a Steez and a Miller. Tasty dreams.
Well, so I will say that samurai is so good. Like I got mine paired with an Alphys CTSV, and the stuff you can land, I've landed on that, or just extracted, should I say. Amazing. Like you can just put the brakes on anything, but you can still throw super light lures. So like I'll happily sit there throwing DC 60s, DC 75s, OSP dunks, jackal squirrels, getting it in the nastiest timber, just twitching it down a few times, pause, suspend, and you just wait to get jammed. And then you just put your thumb on the spool and flip the fish out, US bass style.
Oh, it's fun. Awesome. It's like what I did with my 57 centimeter bass. Just ripped it out of its home. Sucker.
Don't let them know what even happened.
Absolutely.
good fun. But Mitchell, what are you looking forward to grabbing?
So probably one of the things that I'm most excited for, especially for on the cast and just for general, like what I guess one of the things I really enjoyed in 2020 was taking good photos of fish, or at least trying to anyway. So one of the things I really want is a brand new camera. Something that just takes wicked still photos, actually has a decent self timer. So a new camera setup, tripod, all that sort of stuff, personal one would be awesome. That's probably one of the things I'm most excited about, because if we go on all these trips, it's going to be crappy if they're not documented in the right way. So a new camera is definitely on the cards. I'm not exactly sure what I'll get. So if anyone listening, Dale Baxter and others, send me the details on cameras that are really good for that sort of stuff. DSLRs, mirrorless, whatever. Happy. That's what I want. And then getting to the really serious stuff that all you other people actually care about is the gear side of it all. So what I really want so far, and in no specific order, is a Twitch Freak. So a Miller Twitch Freak, a Miller Grub Freak, four Cetates, 2500 sizes. I want 3 to 4 Stellars. So I think, Dill, what do I need for that? Is it like an 8? Or 6, an 8, a 10, a 14, or whatever.
Oh, you get away. Like, if you had an 8, 14, and an 18, you're laughing.
Cool. So an 8, a 14, and an 18. So I'll get 3 of those.
My 5 is so cute. I love it. It is a beast.
Yeah.
Got
Let's start with the first three. So three Stellars, and I'm going like normally I'm a Daiwa boy through and through, but yeah, the warranty, you can't really argue with 10-year warranty, can you, Dill?
Nah, like
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is a tough one. You pick up the new Celtics, you look at the specs. Very nice. I like the stuff. You could get either one, and you're gonna be loving life. Personally, I've always had more Stellars than I have had more Celtigas, and I just find myself spending my hard earned money more so on Stellars.
Yeah, and the service department from Shimano are wicked too. So
like Daiwa's improved, but I don't know. It's sort of just stick with what you like. But at the end of the day, if you have the chance to get one at a better price than the other, just go with whatever. He's around. Like, well, the first few high-end reels I bought, that's all I did. Just be if someone's having a good sale on Shimano or a good sale on Daiwa or there's a good deal going, just jump on it. Like, when you're spending the money on that gear, you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's all good shit.
Yep. I also want two Yamaga Blue Snipers, I think, for Tuner and King. So a couple of casting setups there to match my couple of Stellars. And then I also want a couple of jigging setups as well, because it's not necessarily an area of fishing that I've been ever really exposed to, but it is an area that I'm super interested in. But the reason I probably haven't had the exposure that, like, say, Dill and like Aaron Dillon and all Ebtite and all those guys have had is I just don't have the gear for it. So this is the reason why all the big stuff's up there as well. So probably a couple of jig stars, and then I'd love to get an overhead like jig set up too. So like something like
that. Sorry to interrupt. We've just had a listener question pop through here.
Oh no.
This one's directed for you.
Yep.
Describe your perfect fairy bread.
Oh, who was that?
I'll give you one guess, and if you don't get it, you don't get to know who it was.
Eric.
Nah.
Damn it.
Move on. Keep. What is it? I've seen you make this fairy bread, and it was a mother's worst nightmare.
So the perfect fairy bread.
R.I.P. vacuum cleaner.
Oh, so the perfect fairy bread, and we'll get back to the gear in a second, but the perfect fairy bread is a whole loaf of Wonder What, and then you lay it all out on a table, two deep, so two pieces, top and tailing each other, side by side, a whole loaf of bread. Throw out the bum ends, because that's no good for fairy bread. Great for toast. And then you get like half a tub, I'm going to say, of a good butter. And what a good butter is actual butter, and it has
Luke salt. Park, something good.
Yep, and it's got salt in it, because the salt's wicked, especially with sweet stuff. So some salty, delicious spreadable butter. And then I personally like to lather that half a tub of butter among all those slices of bread. And then I like to get a whole packet of sprinkles. And I like to just cut a corner off it, and then as they're laying on the table, just flip it over them. And then see, I also like to do this at other people's houses, not my own. And it's just a great way to make fairy bread. And if you do this and you do it at your own home,
have a vacuum cleaner and standby.
Have a vacuum cleaner or a dog or several dogs or several vacuum cleaners and some dogs. Great way to clean up your sprinkles. Also, you could alternatively lick them off your table.
Floor,
table, everywhere. They're basically every orifice you could ever get. So that's fairy bread in a nutshell. Some people like less butter, and I think you're wrong, but that's okay. It's subjective.
All right, so back to the topic. Where were we?
And I also want a stack of stick baits. So I think I'll be doing a lot of ebb tide ordering over the next 12 months here and there, periodically just picking up some stylos and like whatever else that Dill and John and everyone else recommends for tuna, not Perry.
Shout out to the Jackfin Stylo. So far, that's definitely my go-to lure of 2021. The Stylo 240, brand new in the market, get on it. That thing is just a fish machine. Got a few nice kings on it so far, but even got a Kraken tuna on one the other day just randomly too. So
awesome.
The action of those things, pretty damn reliable.
Yeah, well, the Stylo 240s, they do look good. All like every time I look at a style, I think it's probably the most simple lure that you can ever make. But obviously it's made tough, so they would look wicked. So Stylos, maybe Carpenters, probably definitely Sirens, some ASWPs, OTLs, all that sort of stuff. Getting into the stick bait market, buying some poppers. Williamson jet pop. Yeah, Wilson jet poppers.
Have you never to, knock one back.
Have
never
to, have to put a few of those in my box. Even like even a man that hasn't caught a kingfish, I know they got to be in your box. So yeah, just a stack of really high end stuff. I'd like a few fly rods as well. So I think I'd want. I want a new 6-weight or a new 5-weight setup, and I'd like a new probably 2-weight setup possibly as well, and one more 10-weight rod. So I really, I've always just wanted a vision down under 10-weight rod. And then I think that basically caps fly stuff off and everything else. And there's obviously going to be stacks of line, terminals, lures in there as well, but I don't know what they are yet because we're at the start of 2021, so we'll get there. But I'm sure at the end of 2021, we'll review this. We'll let you know what we've bought over the course of 2021. Possibly we might do a mid-year run out of how have our tax returns stacked up for fishing gear. that might be a feature episode as well.
Not as bad as last year, though. That kind of, I kind of crawled into a hole and died and realized where all my money went.
Yeah, well, I think, what did you get to?
Undisclosed.
Disclosed, Dylan.
Yeah, that one.
Are you going to disclose it? Winnings. Yeah. Let's just put it this way. I'm pretty sure I spent over 10. and that's not $10, by the way, Rena. That's 10,000.
I just added 10. Yeah. But hey, moving on. So I guess we should jump into some listener questions. I actually just saw a serious one.
No way.
Yes. Mark would like to know. We have covered this before, but it wasn't in the first episode. We'll make this one, we'll make it quick. If anyone wants an in-depth explanation of our little love story, jump back into the episode one, I think it was. But Mitch, how did we meet?
How did we meet? So the first one that we met, Dylan's first year of uni, and it was in his O week. So that was my second or third year of uni. I think I was in third.
Lo and behold, we met and, I think we got talking about, it was sort of that awkward moment when there's that thing, like when you regularly fish and you're somewhere new and you're chatting to someone and you're not too sure about them at first, you're going to be real cagey because you don't want to fucking give away any of your hard-earned info on spots and stuff. And Mitch was definitely being a bit cautious and he was like, oh, yeah, so you fish. Oh, yeah. And then I said something about OSP bent, you know, then you just see him light up, like, because obviously no one at Deakin back then fished.
No one taking fish well anyway. I was like, bendy minnows.
Yes. So that's how we met. Now, there was some other questions, but if you want the full rundown of that, just jump into episode one. Not a bad episode. Certainly a lot shitter than other episodes, but not bad.
Probably not as shit as this episode.
Happy, I would like to know, how was that fairy bread we just posted on our Instagram? It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I am so sorry to Perry what Mitch did to your house.
I did mostly clean it up. I think he said he had like sprinkles on his feet for a week. Yes. Not too bad. Anyway, moving on.
Dale Baxter would like to know, did you pay for that shirt?
All right. So what he's talking about is I have this bright fluoro YP threads pineapple shirt. Did I pay for it, Dale? Yes, I paid for it. There's other stories behind that shirt, but we'll keep them off air. You can ask me that in person one day when I meet you.
All right. Well, I got my phone up. Alex would like to know the best lures for snook.
The best lures for snook.
This may or may not be a piss take. Take it as you wish.
I would say best lures for snook would be Halco rooster poppers in the largest possible size. And then I would say that Rapala magnums, the massive ones with the metal bib, throw them a whack. And then I like also...
That's actually probably not a bad lure.
And then
first one for anyone who thinks he's being serious. Not quite. But give him one serious one. If anyone out there genuinely wants to catch a snook for some explained reason, what should they throw?
Oh, well, honestly, one thing you can simply do is to go troll diving hard bodies basically around any structure anywhere in the whole entire bay, and eventually you'll find them. Preferably natural structure is what I prefer, or spoil grounds. Fantastic. Just trolling hard bodies of a medium size being like 100 mil, that'll do. Also, just throwing some like 3-inch curly tail plastics, 4-inch curly tail plastics, something like that, going to get an eat on like a 1/4-ounce jig head. Simple, snook, shitfish.
Simple.
Yep.
All right. So next question, definitely a serious one. Thank you, Dave Eccleston.
Oh, thank God for this. Someone had to level out this podcast.
This is actually a really good question. We should have probably covered this a bit more in our COD episode, but
thanks, Dale.
What's so good for COD or to get into COD fishing? We're not going to get into COD fishing, but to get people into COD fishing for about that $500 range. So if you are getting into any sort of fishing, $500 is a great sort of starting point for an outfit. You're going to get something that is enjoyable to fish with and does the job. Sorry, there's a bit of background noise. It is just like torrential rain right here at the minute, but hopefully you can't hear that.
Not much anyway. It's quite relaxing anyway.
But we had to talk about this. So Mitch, you cover quickly if you could buy just a general purpose outfit that's going to throw like your 5/8 spinner baits, a few stumpies, maybe a smaller swim bait or glide bait. What would you buy?
I've always said, I love Daiwa, especially their like light and spin stuff and the bait casters. Not to say anything wrong about the Shimano stuff either; they're awesome too. But I really liked, and I've put one of these combos together for my mate Tom, and it was a Daiwa Tatula 200H with a TD Black. The new TD Black cranky. Sweet rods for cod, just a sweet setup for cod. Came under around that $500 mark, and then it's like $30 for line. And on line for that, it's obviously you're not throwing heaps of big stuff. It's not swim bait fish, so anywhere between 30 and 40 pound. And then rigging that up with between 30 and 40 pound leader. You don't really need to go any bigger than that.
If you're on the Shimano fence, I kid you not, the Shimano cod raider or one of the Barra raiders, depending how heavy you want to go with it's Corrado 200K. Like, that's a reel I still throw all the time for the money. They are bulletproof.
And if you want to go less than that, SLXs, the SLX DCs, pretty nice reels, value for money. Like, and they'll do the job and they'll last for a fair while, so you can't really complain too much.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear that rain now?
Yep.
This is bad.
I hope
it's all right.
she'll be right.
We'll just talk a bit louder because I don't really want to cut this.
No, neither do I. And then, Dil, you sort of came up with, because we were wondering, could you do a swim bait setup for $500 as well? And, Dil, the answer was, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Or close to, anyway.
Yes. So I would be going, like, if you, what is it? I think Shimano Makairu, they retail for, I think it's like $100 or $120. By no means a pleasurable rod to use, but they do the job really, really well. And you would go that with something... swim bait reel that will fit that budget. You might get away with something like a Tranqs 200.
Yeah,
you'd fall in budget with that.
You might fall in budget too with a Daiwa Lexa. I know people don't like to mix Daiwa and Shimano's, but a Daiwa Lexa 300 might do the job as well. But the Daiwa Tatulas. The Daiwa Tatula 300s and Tranqs might blow that budget out of $500, but it's going to be pretty close to it in the ballparks. And it's worth getting that 300 size reel if you are doing swim baiting stuff.
Oh, 100%. So
thank you very much, Dave, for a very sensible question.
What's the next question we got?
All right, I've got one from Brad. So this is Brad Apps, and did Perry claim the tuna from the Trally's Christmas party? So for all of those, we had a Christmas party for Trally's last weekend, and there was tuna, sashimi, and there was also fairy bread in the same serving. Happy days, can't really argue with that. Tuna, did Perry claim the tuna from the Christmas party, as in he caught it? Yes, he did. So listen to this, Brad, and there's your answer.
You're a terrible person.
Perry, you're also shit.
What does Luca ask?
We've answered Dale's question, haven't we?
We have answered Dale's question.
So Luca has asked, will a Shimano Vanquish 2000S match a Miller Grub Freak? Now, this sounds like a sensible question, but the answer is no. Moving on.
That is a bit of an inside joke for anyone else listening.
But yeah, still, it doesn't really go, trust us. It actually really doesn't go too light. Yes. But it's a no. Sammy asks, is egging a real form of fishing? No. Peristavropoulos. Stavropoulos.
Oh my god, find a real one. I'm scrolling through. We've got like heaps of messages that are just cooked. Thank you. Like, we did ask for this. We asked for it.
We should have ended on Dave Eccleston's question last.
I know. I do have a proper question here. Oh.
We have one proper question. End on. We're going to go to Perry's first. Perry's question is, how do you catch fish? And he says he's asking for a mate. So we say, start at the foundations, fish with bait, work your way up. Just do it on the cast. Simple.
Simple. We got another question here from one of our listeners over on, well, this one came through Facebook. Holy moly.
Whoa.
This one's simple. Four words. There is no question mark, but I'm guessing it's a question, not a statement. Rods for stick baiting popping.
Actually a good question. Dill, take it away.
Now, I'm just going to keep this general. Like, in Victoria, there's two. Like, I won't get too technical with it. Like, you stick bait, your rod's a bit softer, popping rod's a bit heavier. In Vic, just general top water stick bait rods are going to be laughing. Something like the Shimano grappler range, like, seriously, for a like sub $500 rod, I even still use them. They are brilliant. Daiwa Saltest Hypers, bloody good. I will say they're not a rod I would push to their extreme limits if you're targeting really large barrel bluefin or bigger kings, but super capable stick, very nice to use, highly recommend. Reels, that's where you want to spend your money. Like, you do want to spend a fair bit on your reels. Like, I have cooked some purely because the drags just don't survive, gears don't survive. Like, spend as much as you can on this sort of gear. But anything like your rock bottom minimum, I will happily recommend to someone's probably a Shimano Saragossa or like a Saltest LTD. Like, I've had my Saragossas for a while. I've held up well. But if it's something you're really passionate about, just spend the money. There's two reels. I don't even need to name them, but yeah, well, Stalus Altiga.
Yeah. And like,
I'll quickly say, like, either, like, I've got a 5,000 on a PE2 outfit. I've got a 14 that I always just use for that sort of PE5, 6 stuff. And they're the two reels I pretty much use for all my Victorian stuff. If you're going to be one, buy one, just buy an 8 or a 14,000, obviously in a HG or an XG.
And some people use slammers and like they'll catch a few fish, but like, yeah, if you buy the low end stuff, they will break at some point for sure.
Yeah. Spend the money.
100%.
Like, we see people who buy a lot of gear and a lot of people who buy subpar gear for how often they fish or what they want to fish for, and you see stuff come back. Like, I'm not going to name brands or anything like that.
No.
Or reels, but it's just a price point thing. Like, people think, oh, this reel has all these amazing reviews and it's $400. It's going to be the best reel forever and it can't compete with a Salaris Ortega. Nothing can.
Like, yeah.
They're that price for a reason.
If you're halfway there and you can't afford to buy the good stuff, I would honestly recommend put a reel on lay-by with the full price, the full amount of money that you've got, and just pay it off. Because realistically, if you're going to use that reel for some serious serious fishing once or twice a year, at the end of the day, if you use it once or twice a year for the next 10 years, you might as well have the tool for the trade and go buy the good stuff once. Mm-hmm. Buy once, cry once.
Yeah, simple. We got a lot more questions there. We might get back to them in another episode. We don't want this one to go for too long today. Like, normally our episodes are pushing that 2-hour limit, but hey, we want our beauty sleep. We both got work in the morning.
I've been surfing a fair bit today.
It's Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got the hell day. I got to work two jobs.
Oh, no.
Fun. But yeah, we'll leave it there for today, guys. Thanks for anyone who sent the
question. No.
Sorry, we didn't get to yours. Oh, sorry.
There is one last question, Dylan. One last question before we sign out. And we forgot who asked the question, and we are sorry about that, and I have no idea who it was. But like I said, that there was one serious question left, and there is. What are our plans, Dylan, for the podcast and on the cast this year in general?
I don't know. It's a question even Mitch and myself aren't too sure on, but like pretty much we're going to try keep it to our fortnightly schedule, but we're going to be open with you. Like that might be a bit here and there in terms of when we can get an episode out. Like I hope we can get one out every fortnight. Like, we enjoy doing it. We enjoy talking to guests. We love getting people on and teeing this up, but
I know it, we both work a lot. When, as always, if we have the chance to get out and fish or go fishing for a while, like that's obviously going to get the priority of our spare time. But, oh, we're certainly looking forward to punching out as much content on here and our Instagram and maybe dabbling in a bit of YouTube. Like we're both sitting on, we've got some serious banked up footage and we would love to get that out there. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, I think 25 podcasts in a year is pretty good in terms of what we want to do. And if we have the freedom, unlike last year, because obviously we started this podcast when COVID was around, so it was actually pretty entertaining just to talk fishing once a week.
Yeah.
Gil and our other guests, it was just nice to have that that space to talk about it with. And it was really good to fill in that time. But now that we have a bit more time to actually do our own things, and obviously I want to go overseas, we have our trips as well, it'd be really like – we're going to be a bit pressed to do podcasts weekly. So fortnightly will be where it's at. And, yeah, with any luck, you reach that 25 podcasts or so for the year. And, yeah, keep posting a lot more content on our Instagram. And I really like to clean up a lot of the photos. Get rid of heavy shit photos and get only good quality content and camera stuff coming through. So cleaning up everything, making it a bit more professional. And in all honesty, I also really want to make a few shirts and a few hats and stuff. Yeah. So if that's something that anyone's interested in, let us know. I always dreamt of it on the cast 5-panel hat. I love 5-panel hats, so I would love one of my own.
But even if you were thinking of like species design hoodies or tees or anything, so there's a fish you would love on it. Like, I think for us, we're definitely the few we're thinking of. Like, we've got to have one with a Murray cod, got to have one with a king, got to have one with a brim.
Probably a snook.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll have a giant pike, giant snook as well, just two of them eating each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's sort of our plan for the year. Clean it up, keep consistent, and have a good year, catch more fish, bring you guys some really cool content in some capacity. Like, I'm not saying we're going to start a whole entire YouTube channel and get that like grinding out weekly episodes, because honestly, till stuff logs. But yeah, that's it.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. If you haven't listened to us before and this by chance is your first episode, we are sorry. Probably quite a boring one for you. Definitely jump back and listen to some other ones. I highly recommend the Oman episode, Colby Lesko's Barra, Kirby Rothel's Mulloway. There are plenty of good episodes there.
If you're getting into cod fishing, go back to our cod fishing episode. If you feel like Christmas Island, we had our episode with Kyle. Go check that one out too. There's a stack of brim stuff in there as well. So check it all out. 2021 is going to be a different year. And also, I'd really like to say thank you to all of our guests for 2020. And all of you who interacted with us, it was a great start to our podcast, and it's going to get bigger and better from here. We have some really cool guests semi-lined up for 2021. So it's going to be an awesome year, I reckon, Dil.
Yeah, 100%. And if any listener has, if there's someone you want to hear, let us know. If you think you have something to offer, let us know. If you want to get in contact with us, where may they find us, Mitchell?
They will find us, and we'll get this right for the first time ever. They will find us at On The Cast Media on our Instagram and Facebook page, or you can shoot us an email to onthecastmedia@gmail.com. But, yeah, if you really want to contact us, Dil, where are they sliding into?
Our DMs.
On?
onthecastmedia@gmail.com, onthecastmedia on Instagram.
Yeah. Facebook, we don't – like, we got it there. Go sign up to that just for fun. You never know. If it gets big, we might actually start posting stuff there, but I doubt it because I hate Facebook. But thanks, guys, for a good 2020. Here's cheers to 2021. Hope all of you guys have been getting out for a few sessions already this year. It's the 15th today. So with any luck, it's a way better year than last year. But just look at the good stuff. That's all I can say. There's good stuff ahead.
Oh, yeah. And I should say, like, if you get a catch cool fish, tag us in it. Like I was thinking the other day, like we're getting tagged in all these photos and we never share them. So we might start just whacking stuff up on our stories and giving the occasional shout out or whatever. So if you have a photo of a fishy that you think's worthy, give it a tag.
And if we share it, it's worthy. If we don't share it, you're not worthy.
Or we're lazy.
Or we're lazy,
actually. Always a common one.
Yeah, there is that too. Yeah. We'll try and fix that, but who knows?
Anyway, thanks for listening in, everyone. We're off to bed.
We'll catch you. I'm off to work in the morning, and we will hopefully catch you in a fortnight.
Sounds good. Catch you later, Dylan.
Catch you, man.